Okay, there you go. All right, stand up and hold your Bibles up and say, this is the Word of God, and I know that it's true. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We're just going to read verse 1 and 2. So I'll give you a little more. I hear a little bit of pages rattling. My scripture guy is working on it. I'll try to tell you what I'm going to try to. I'm going to try to go and find it in my own Bible. And so that'll give you a little time. He's a little green. Okay. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Your word is life to us. And Lord, this morning, as we discuss your word, as we discuss the nature of the sin in our lives, and why is that? Lord, I pray that you would send your Spirit and that your Holy Spirit would speak through me, because I am not as wise as I should be. But your Holy Spirit has got a message here for us. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would bring out the truth in your word, that you would be glorified, that you would hide your messenger behind the cross and speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Last week when I was, Julie's here. I see the whites of her eyes. Okay, if you want to go to Super Church, you sure can. I think she's ready for you. So you are dismissed and run like the wind is with you. There you go. But don't run into anybody else. For those of you who were here last week, I was giving my testimony, and I talked about how I wanted it to be bad. And I got to clear up one thing. Just toward the end, you know, I said that I just didn't feel like I wanted to be as bad as I used to. A lie. Okay, I was shining the apple a little bit. Okay, so I pretty much want to be as bad as I ever did, but it seems like my taste in bad has changed somewhat, and so I thought, well, today would be a very interesting thing to expand on this whole being bad thing a little bit, because of the verses that I've talked about are talking about that very thing, and this whole thing with sin, and how come is it when I have been saved, and I have the Spirit of the living God living inside of me, how come I still do this sin thing? Well, it's all about the way we're made, but it's kind of got to do with it. I'm going to run this little video for you so that you get a little kind of an audio reminder of what sin is really like in your life. Maybe we'll do this, and maybe not. I really want to do this, John. He's froze. This video thing is really bad, but you got to get this. Oh, there it goes. Okay, sound.
Sit in that chair. All right, here's the deal. Marshmallow, for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now. When I come back, I'll give you another one, so then you'll have two. But stay in here and stay in the chair till I come back, okay? All right. I'm gonna go do something and then I'll come back.
It smells yummy. It smells really good.
Alright, so it's up to you. You can have it now or you can wait. Okay? I'll be back. Stay in the chair, okay? Okay. Right now, or you can wait. Either way, okay? Okay. How'd you do? Did you do good? You did? You wanted to eat it, didn't you? Yeah. So did I tell you to give you another one? Okay, now you can have both. You need them.
Looking at our passage for today, in Romans 12, Paul says that we are to present our bodies to God. It says that right there. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So we present that. And but just before that, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And right there, he's saying, is because of God's mercies that you are able to present your bodies. So it's the thing, this whole presenting ourselves to God as a sacrifice is part us, part God. And he goes on and says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will. And so he says, don't be shaped by the world. That's what being conformed to the world is. Don't be shaped by the world, but be changed by this thing that you are doing, by this thing, how you're presenting yourselves by my power to the Lord. So it's our change of mind when we get saved, and it isn't all us, and it's mostly God. It's all God. Well, it's God's changing us, but we have a part in it. That's what I want to say. Okay, so there's three things that I want to bring out in this whole thing. This whole transformation takes place by being in Christ, by putting on Christ, and by returning to Christ. And so, first, being in Christ. Now, being in Christ means being united with Him. Over and over and over in the Bible, it talks about being in Christ. And that's what just is being united with Christ. And you think of united as, you know, we've got the United States, where we're all individuals and we're all, you know, we're part of this one country. But that's not what this united means. Or you could think of it like a sports team, where there's all these individuals on this sports team, and they make up one team, but they're all still individual. No, what Paul says, we are united like a body. So you got this arm and this arm, but it's part of this body, and these arms aren't individual. They are part of the body. And that's the same thing it is means in being united with Christ. We are with Christ. Him and I are apart. We're one. And it's not like I can be apart from Him. He is in me. So as soon as you get saved, you become united with Christ. And there is nothing that really shows up for that. I didn't look any different after I got saved. I didn't. As I said in my testimony, I didn't feel anything. But He's there. And you accept that by faith. He's a part of us by faith. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. There. Now I'm gonna find it myself. I've got it written down here, but I'm going to go there anyways, just because then you guys will get there at the same time as me, probably before me. So 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27. And I'm going to read through 31. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27 to 31. It says, but God has chosen the foolish things in the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, the base things of the world, and the things which are despised. God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. You see that? No flesh is going to glory. It's going to be just the thing that He made. He's the thing that's going to glory. Now look at verse 30. It says, but of Him, that's God, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus. You are in Christ Jesus. Remember that? You're united. And it doesn't anything that you did. It's what God did. Now look at this. Who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You guys realize what that means? That you guys are that, you have that right now. You have the wisdom from God. You are the wisdom of God, which is a change of thinking. That's, you know, God's thinking is not like our thinking. You have the wisdom of God, which is different kind of thinking. So you're changed. And we are righteous. At the moment that you were saved, you became righteous. You are made right. It's an amazing thing, but you don't feel like you're righteous. But you are righteous. When you were saved, you were sanctified. That means you were made holy. You don't feel holy and you don't act holy, but you're made holy. And when you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have redemption. You are saved. But you don't really feel that saved. And sometimes we even question whether we really are saved. And so how does this work? These three things are a reality. We are righteous, we are sanctified, we are justified, we are redeemed. But at the same time as they are a reality, they're not quite yet. Maybe this will clear it up. 2 Corinthians 5. Go to 2 Corinthians verse chapter 5, 21. This wisdom of God, which is different than our wisdom, is like, oh, like amazing. For he, again, referring to God, made him, who is referring to Jesus, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Okay, now, so as you look at those verses, God made Jesus sin. Did Jesus have to sin to be sinful? No. He didn't have to sin to be sinful. And in the same verse, it says, God has made you righteous. Did you have to act righteous to be righteous? No. In the same way God makes you righteous, in the same way that by some mystery of the spiritual world, Jesus Christ, who was perfect, was able to be made sinful, in that same way you who are so imperfect, me who are so imperfect, are made right. We're made righteous by that same amazing, amazing thing. And go to Romans 8. I'm going to make you do some page turning here today. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Didn't take me very long to go there, so I'm not going to give you a whole lot of time. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Did you see that? There is no condemnation for those who are united with Christ. That's that whole being united with Christ, which makes such a huge difference in our lives that we don't even realize. Being one with Christ because we don't feel it. We accept it, we receive it by faith, but we don't always feel it. And so there is now no condemnation. And so we need to realize our position, the place that we have. And, the devil throws all this stuff at us. Our own sinful flesh wants to do the old sinful thing. And so it's so hard to keep track of this, but we got to keep track. This is one of the things that will transform your thinking, that will change your thinking from the worldly way of thinking into this Christian, this Christ-like way of thinking. And the one thing is to realize that you, me, we are united with Jesus Christ. That makes a difference. And believe that. And believe it as you go through this life that, hey, I am united with Christ, and that's going to make a difference. It's the same as believing that you are saved. You know, there's nothing that happens to most of us. Some of you get this, like, weird feeling. I envy you, but nothing happens to some of us. And so we receive it, and we accept it by faith. And that's the same thing as this being united with Christ, knowing that he is in you and that his presence will transform you is exactly the same as being saved. And then that Romans 12, verse 1 says, by the mercies of God, this all happens. And so, we are in Christ. That's the first thing that will transform your lifestyle. And the second thing is putting on Christ. Okay, we put on Christ. So see, the reality of all this is, okay, it'd be great if I got saved and then I never was tempted again and I was lived perfect until the day I died and then I'd go to heaven. But that's not reality. That's not the way it really works. It says, well, let's turn to Romans chapter 7. This is a fantastic, it's just one chapter back from where you were, if you kept your finger in it. But it's chapter 7, verse 21. I love this passage because this passage is like Paul saying, okay, this is the way it is for me, and this is the way it is for me too. Now, I'm reading this out of the Living Translation because it's a little bit easier to follow, and so if you, that's what it's on, I think, up here, I think. There you go. Okay, so it says, I have discovered this principle of life. Now, this is a principle. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Oh, I love God's law with all of my heart. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Have you ever felt that way after you've stumbled again in that same sin that has tripped you up so many times? Have you ever thought, oh, what a miserable person? And that's what Paul is saying. What a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. And so, you know, this is basic 101 Christianity, but I'm going to go through it anyways just to remind you of the whole deal. Okay, here you are, you're going through life, totally unsaved, and all of a sudden you hear somebody talking about Jesus, and you think, that's for me, I want to do that. And so you accept Jesus, you receive him as your Lord, your Savior, in that moment of time, again, a miraculous thing happens. There all of a sudden gets to be two. There is that old sinful nature that is still there, that will be there, and there is a new nature. Now, that old nature is kind of like having a disease, a chronic disease. It never goes away. It just sticks with you all through your life. You got this chronic disease. And at the same time, you've got this like whole body stem cell transplant, okay, it's going in there, and you got this whole brand new thing going that needs to be, you know, nurtured and cared for, and that's part of the being transformed. You're being transformed when that new nature has become stronger than the old nature. And there's an interesting thing right where we are, you know, in Romans 12. Now I'll go back over to Romans 12 again. Verses 1 and 2 there in Romans 12 is where we started. And right after that section, then Paul goes into this 3 chapters of how to live a Christian life. And I read that and I thought, what is this all about? And then it got to be, let's look at it. You know, in verses 3 through 13, he talks about living as a member of the church. He talks about using God's gifts and being a part of the church. Going to church, going to Sunday school, bringing your kids to church, bringing your kids to Sunday school, and just doing the church thing. And then he talks about, in the next little section, he talks about living among non-believers. You know, how do you live amongst those people that don't believe? And then he goes in, how do you live in the state? How do you live in the government? How do you deal with those issues? And then he goes into judging other Christians. Get off my porch. You know, he's talking about judging other Christians, and he's thinking about things that will, you know, cause us to backslide or cause your brother to backslide, and he gets really personal. And then, man, he has the nerve to talk about how we should be considerate to those around us. And so he goes into all these things, how to, and I look at this and I think, what is this all about? Well, in the middle of that section, in Romans 13, verse 14, there's this little section in there where he says, okay, how does this work? And verse 14 says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. And I looked up put on, and the Bible talks about putting on Christ over and over. Go to Job 29, verse 14. Now in this section, Job is talking about how his lifestyle, how he lives, you know, how he's been doing this and how he's been doing that. And he says this, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. He put on righteousness. Now to go to Galatians 3, verse 27. Galatians 3, verse 27. And so, he says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now go to Ephesians 4, 24. Okay, Ephesians 4, 24 says, and you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You see that? You put on the new man. Go to Colossians 3, verse 10. Colossians 3, verse 10 says, and put on the new man who was renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. What does it mean to put on Christ? So, now I'm no brilliant Greek scholar, but I got some books. Heh. And so I was looking up this Greek word, put on. The word is enduo. And it's like, it means to sink. And I picture myself sinking. For some reason, I think of myself sinking into a pit of tar. I don't know why I think that, because you could just as well think of sinking into a swimming pool. But, you know, it covers over you. And that's also what it means. You get covered over. It means to go into, to go under, to put on. So it's definitely something you are doing. I am doing. We are putting on Christ. This, you know, God has put on righteousness. He's put that on us. He's put on, you know, all that stuff on us. But we are putting on this. And so what in the world does this mean? And if you go to Romans chapter 12, verse 9, going back, 12 verse 9, it says, let love be without hypocrisy. And I thought, that's because that's what I was thinking. Because it is dawning on me, okay, this must mean that we're supposed to act like Christians. We're supposed to pretend to be Christians. When you're a hypocrite, you pretend to be something that you're not. But I think what Paul is saying here, you are supposed to pretend to act like something that you are, because you are righteous, you are sanctified, you are justified, you are redeemed. And so he's saying, okay, you've been saved. Act like you're saved. And then he goes into this 3.5 chapters of, okay, how does this work? How does this look in my life? And so that is what we're supposed to do, and we're supposed to put on Christ. But you know, look at this. Look, keep where you are. Continuing in verse 9, going into this second half of that, it says, abhor what is evil. I can't always do that. Sometimes I just got to do evil stuff. You know, but it says, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Does anybody else have a little problem with being kindly affectionate all the time? I do. Give preference to one another. Who wants to do that? Don't lag in diligence, fervent in spirit. Now that I can do. I can be fervent. I can be pretty fervent. Serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. And now let's talk about the unsaved. Okay, well, those guys around you that aren't saved, those ones, bless those who persecute you, bless, and do not curse. Oh, how about that? Oh. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. And you guys know as well as me that, you know, that's great that Paul writes that. But we just don't do that all the time. But Paul says, I don't care if you don't do it all the time. You put it on. You act like it. So as you are going through your life and you are convicted by that Spirit of God that lives within us, within you, and says, okay, ding dong, rings the bell, then it's time to back up and say, oops, sorry, Lord. And then start being affectionate with a godly affection. And act like you are, even if you don't feel affectionate, but act like it. And it's a weird thing, but that's what Paul is saying. You put on this, put this on. And we do it by faith. We do it by faith. We put on Christ with faith that, okay, I'm going to act like a Christian because I think that's going to change me. It's going to transform my thinking. And it does, it does, it does. We act it by faith. And sometimes things change rather quickly. I've had some seriously bad habits in my life that changed like overnight. And then I've had some seriously bad habits in my life that are still there. They're, you know, like, whoa, what's going on here? But he says, you got to press on. You just got to press on and do it over. Look at Philippians 3. This is a great one, too. This is just as good as that Romans 7, but it's Philippians 3. It's Philippians 3. I don't want to confuse you by throwing too many Bible verses. Philippians 3, verse 12. And again, I'm going to read this out of the Living Translation because it's a little bit more clear. And he says, Philippians 3:12. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things. Now, when he's talking about these things, he's talking about living right. He's talking about Christian living and doing the right thing. And he says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection. He says, I'm not perfect. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what is ahead. You forget about that stuff, even if it was just an hour ago. It's not as easy to forget about it, but you put it behind you. And he says in verse 14, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus is calling us. So we press on. We put on Christ, and we keep putting on Christ. And when we stumble and we fall, we reach back in there, and we put on Christ. And then finally, we get into the third thing. So we are in Christ. We are reunited with him. That transforms us. We put on Christ. We do what he wants us to do in this life as much as we can, as well as we can, and that transforms us. And finally, we return to Christ. And this is the key of all of these things. This is the key to returning to Christ. You know, I got to be thinking about this sin thing. And, you know, Paul writes about how all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And that even applies to sin. Do you know that sin is kind of actually a good thing? You know, if it wasn't for your sinful life that you were living, would you have been convicted to come to the Savior? If it wasn't for those sins that were dragging you down and that Holy Spirit conviction, well, you've even come to him in the first place. And even now, as you know him and as you're walking with him, as you are caught up in a sin and you see in your life as you walk in that sin for a while and you begin to see the destructive force of that sin, how it's changing your thought pattern, it's changing your relationships. Sin is a terrible thing, but it is a very good indicator of where you are with the Lord. And so as you see that sin working in your life, you are prompted by the Holy Spirit, hey, come back. And that guilt that you feel, that shame that you feel after you stumble and fall, it's a good thing. That's a good thing. That means that the Holy Spirit is working in you. And you, it doesn't feel good, but it's a good thing. And if you are walking, living in a sinful lifestyle right now, and you aren't feeling any shame or any guilt, you got to start looking at your relationship with the Lord and see if, hey, was this a real relationship? Because when you are united with Christ and he's living in you and he's transforming you, there is sometimes guilt and there's sometimes shame. And we need to come back to him. And in James 4, verse 10, James says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Returning to Christ is repentance. And repentance isn't a one-shot thing. It's not like, you know, we talked about this disease. The old nature is a disease, a chronic disease, and there's no vaccination that helps that. You can't repent once and be done. Repentance is more like a diet. Okay, you get up and you have a good breakfast, and then you have a good morning lunch, and then you have a good noon lunch, and then you have a pretty good afternoon lunch, and then you have a pretty good supper, and then before you go to bed, you have a pretty good bowl of ice cream and tie it all together. A good diet. That's what repentance is. You go back and you eat a good diet, and you eat it over and over and over and over and over. Look in Romans 13, verse 11. This is the one, this is the little gem inside of this whole how to live right that is the key to the whole deal. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And it says, and do this. That's all those things he's talking about, how to live the Christian life in all those different ways. He says, and do this, knowing the time. And now it is high time to awake out of sleep. And now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Do you see that? That's repentance. When you repent, when you turn again to the Lord, you throw off those works of darkness and you recommit your life to the Lord. You put on the armor of Christ. Is that sweet? Is that cool? That is so cool. In this guy, Matt Maher, and Mia Fieldes or something like that, wrote this song called Christ is Risen. It's a great song. I'm gonna play a little clip from that in a little bit. But I wanted you to listen to the words, because so many times when we sin, the Holy Spirit brings to our realization that this is not a right thing, and we have this shame, and we do not want to come to the Lord. And the enemy, in fact, tells us that we don't have any business coming to him. But that's not true. That's a lie. At that very moment, he wants us to come to him. Listen to these words of this song. Let no one caught in sin remain inside the lie of inward shame, but fix our eyes upon the cross and run to him who showed great love and bled for us. Freely you've bled for us. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead. We are one with him again. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? Oh, church, come stand in the light. The glory of God has defeated the night. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? Oh, church, come stand in the light. Our God is not dead. He's alive. He's alive, and that makes all the difference. Watch this video.
Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up. Thank you. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over the spiders. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with him again. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting?
Ask that you would bow your heads a little bit and close your eyes. Shut out all the stuff that's around you. And think about this. Is it time to wake up to what that lust is doing in your spiritual life? Is it time to wake up to what that fear, what that worry is doing to your spiritual life? Is it time to wake up to what that resentment is doing to your spiritual life, or what that envy is doing, what that hate is doing, what that greed is doing? It is high time to wake out of sleep. It's not too late. The victory is yours. The victory is won. Christ has trampled death by death, and he's got the victory. You are one with him. Put on Christ. Return to Christ and come awake. Even if you've come back 1,000 times, come one more time. And as I say this, maybe there's someone out there who has never made this commitment to have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. And this sounds interesting, but how can it be? It's so supernatural, all this business of accepting things by faith. But I'm asking you that maybe you'd consider this. This is a real thing. Because you've seen it in the lives of people that you know, how they've changed. So if this is you, if you have never chosen Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a good day. Agree with him that you are a sinner. And then ask him to save you from that sin. Lord Jesus Christ, save me from the sin that is holding me back. And believe by faith the promise of eternal life. Believe the promise of a transformed life. Let's pray, Lord, as we again return to you, we again desire to put on Christ. Lord, how many times have we decided, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore? That's good. Lord, help us, remind us again and again and again. Transform our thinking so that we have the mind of Christ. We believe that you will change the way we think, that you will change the way we are. May our relationships come alive with your love. May our lives be a reflection of you living in us, so that those who don't know you would desire to come to you as a result of them seeing your transforming power working in our lives. And Lord, help us to love ourselves. Not in the old self-centered, proud way that we used to love ourselves, but rather help us to see ourselves as you see us. You see us as a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come, and we are one with you again. We focus on our failure, Lord. But help us to see your transforming power working in us. Remind us again now, right now, right where we were when we first met you. As we think back of how we were back in those days, and maybe it was just yesterday, maybe it's just 5 minutes ago. There's not a lot of change in 5 minutes, but for some of us, after 30-some years, there's been huge changes. And so prove to us, Lord, that you are indeed transforming us, just like it is according to your word, where it says in Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Help us to see how you've changed us so that our faith will increase, so that our hope will increase, so that our love will increase. And as we see how you've been working, let us press on with joy. We don't live a defeated, beaten life. We are victors. We are victors in Christ Jesus, who is part of us. And so help us to live in that victory. We give all this to you. We return to you again, Lord Jesus, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come awake. Go with joy. God bless each and every one of you. And Dan's going to come up. We're going to sing a hymn. God bless you.
If you'd turn in your handles to page 47, or else it is up on the big screen.